Okay, I don't know if you guys have seen the original of this movie. I love this book, and I love the movie. And anyway, when I was a kid, I just loved the rhyming dialogue of it. I'm going to try to put this behind me so I can use my hands. I loved the rhyming poetry of the dialogue, and it just kind of made you want to hear more. I'm going to share a real quick little side story, because it was so cute. My granddaughter, who is 2.5, saw this sitting on my couch. And I guess they've never read it or whatever, so it was sitting there. And she was like, "Nana, turn that over. I don't like that face. That's a scary face." And I'm like, "You've never read The Grinch Stole Christmas?" She's like, "Turn it over. I don't like it. I don't like his face." And so I opened up the page really slowly, and I started to read, you know, the rhyming kind of dialogue. If you've read the book, it's awesome. And she just kind of sat there and just looked at me, and was like, we just kept going and going and going. And of course, you know what happened, right? We'd been reading it 10 times. Like, every time she comes to my eyes, "I want to see the mean face guy. I want to see the..." Anyway, she loved it. And it's not the Jim Carrey version. Who's seen the Jim Carrey version of The Grinch? No, this is nothing like this. This is really good. So I wanted to start my talk by focusing on the ending of this movie. And so Ken is going to play that for us for a minute. So if everybody could watch a second.
"Poo-poo to the who's," he was grinchily humming. "They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the who's down in Whoville will all cry, boo-hoo." "That's a noise," grinned the Grinch, "that I simply must hear." He paused, and the Grinch put a hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. This sound wasn't sad. Why? This sound sounded glad. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
Well, like I said, it was one of my favorite movies as a kid, and the ending makes you feel good, doesn't it? I remember as a kid wanting that feeling, like being so warmed by that feeling, but at the same time thinking, no, that'd be a bummer if you woke up and there's no presents. It was kind of a both and. You were like, oh, it warmed your heart, but no, I want the gifts. But Christmas in Whoville came without presents. The Grinch couldn't steal it from them. And why? Because they were free of the trappings. So if you're like me, I love Christmas. And we were just talking about it at our table. I love all the lights. I just like everything about it. I think every parent loves that morning of Christmas, right? Your kids get up and how excited they are. And you just look forward. It's just fun, everything about it. The food, the presents, the kids coming over. I mean, the parents coming over. And I'll tell you, as a grandma, it takes it to a whole nother level. I have 6 grandkids, and it is the funnest when they all come over. I can't wait till we all sit around the tree and watch them open up their gifts. But what I'd like to focus on this morning is, can we say that if all of that was taken away, if we didn't have that, if we didn't have all the gifts and the goodies today, could we say that our Christmas would still come? I'm beginning to wonder if slowly but surely we are being affected by our culture, kind of like a boiling frog, right? That's telling us that Christmas comes from a store. Why is the message of the manger being avoided? Why is it uncomfortable even to just say Merry Christmas? Have you noticed that there's this hesitancy to even just kind of say it to people? Merry Christmas. Or you go to the store, everything. I mean, look at every commercial. Every commercial is Happy Holidays. They might mention Christmas here or there, but it's Happy Holidays. And then when you start looking with that kind of eye and you watch more, after a while you start wondering, what are we celebrating? What holiday? December? The message of the manger is being lost, really. It's being avoided. There's something about it. And I was tripping on this, that it's like Jesus isn't even invited to his own birthday anymore. I'd like to focus our thoughts this morning on the Whos in the movie, and those little Whos in Whoville. And how can we prevent that from happening to us? How can we prevent Christmas from being stolen from us? If you guys all look at on your table, you have a note sheet. I don't know if they've been handed out, but it's an outline. And at the top, it says, Whoville. And the subtitle I'd like you to put, how to keep your Christmas from being stolen. And I want to start by reminding you, and I know you've all heard this passage in the Bible, Matthew 1, 18 through 21. And it's, we know the story of Mary and Joseph, right? Mary finds out she's going to be pregnant. They're engaged, but she finds out she's going to be pregnant. She's going to have a baby. And every time I read this story, I hear and see something different. And this time I was looking at Joseph and how, again, thinking about culture, we don't understand this today, but Mary, had people known this, really would have been, I mean, she would have been stoned to death. You don't get pregnant before you're married. You don't have a baby before you're married. And Joseph, finding out about it, obviously, says, hey, Mary, you know, in his heart, I care about Mary. I don't want Mary, you know, to be stoned. I don't want her hurt. But he's afraid too. The angel has to come and comfort them both because obviously for him, his reputation is at stake. And so here we have this picture in the Bible of the angel coming to both of them. And I love that. It really would take an angel to comfort you in a situation like that. The angel comforted Mary and Joseph in this way. Okay, so if we look at Matthew verse 21. Can you show that verse, Ken? Okay, look at how the angel comforted them. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, which is Joshua. And Joshua in Greek means the Lord saves. And here's the second part of it, which is what we're going to focus on this morning. For he will save his people from their sins. He comforted them with the fact that their pregnancy was divine. It was from God. Hey, you guys, I know what you're looking at on the outside, that culturally, you're toast, right? But I'm in this. This is from me, God. I have performed this pregnancy, and I have a purpose in it. And the purpose in the pregnancy is that this child is going to save humanity from their sins. The true meaning of Christmas is the good news of Jesus Christ saving us, you and me, from our sins. So how do we keep our Christmas from being stolen? If you look on your little notebook, and hopefully this will help you remember, it is all about the gospel, the good news. Christmas is all about Jesus on a rescue mission for you and me to save us for all eternity. The world wants us to think, right? Because they're not thinking this about Jesus anymore, or Christmas, or the manger. They want us to think it's about the gifts and the shopping, right? So of course, that's what they're promoting. They're pushing it. Come on, buy, buy, buy. That's what it's all about. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's fun. That's all part of our fun. But that's not what it is. Again, we're talking about, if it was all taken away, what do we got? Right? They're pushing their agenda. Money. It's a moneymaker. And we're inundated. I love this. Jill, we were going over my message together. And she says, Susan, you got to share this article and this stat. And it really blew my mind, only because I'm not on social media that much. But the article was on that we are exposed through social media, all different forms, whether it's Instagram, Snapchat, you know, Facebook, all the different venues of social media, but there are, that all of us, if we're on those venues, every day are exposed to over 5,000 advertisements that tell us we need to buy something. I mean, that's incredible. Think of the influence of that, that you are just being told over and over again what you gotta have. We don't realize it. Think about how quickly your clothes, your toys, everything goes out of style. I was looking in my closet the other day, and I'm looking at these shoes, and I was so reminded of how, this was just a couple years ago, I got these shoes for Christmas at Nordstrom. I asked for them, and I'm looking at them now, I'm like, well, those are ready for the bag. You know what I mean? I mean, how quickly stuff goes out of style, or toys get broken, right? You give your kids these toys they gotta have, and the next thing you know, two or three years later, they're busted, they're bored with them, and they're in the bag, right? And the giveaway. So here we go. Well, I need something else. When we let those things become the priority, ladies, we've lost Christmas. It gets stolen from us. So how do we, right? I can say, hey, remember to keep the gospel front and center. But how do we do that? How do we keep the gospel before us? Well, it requires that we know what even the gospel is, okay? And when I was putting this together, so like the Lord, because I'm like, okay, God, how do I present this? And I started putting it together, and it just so fell in line with Whoville, okay? So I'm hoping that, keeping with our theme of Whoville, you'll remember three W's, three who's, okay? This is the gospel. The first who is God? Okay, on your note, you can write that. Who is God? The Bible tells us a lot about who God is. He's our creator. He's perfect. He knows everything. He's sovereign. He's in control. He doesn't change. But you know what else about God in relation to the Bible? I mean, to the gospel, is that he's holy. Holiness means that God, in 1 John 1:5, God tells us this, the message that we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. That's what holiness is. There is no darkness in God. He's perfect. Darkness is a metaphor for sin, and God's holiness means that he is completely separate from us. In every way, he's not impure or sinful. And because of that, it means that he can't have anything to do with sinful people. Think about the garden, Adam and Eve. How many sins did it take for Adam and Eve to be cast out of the garden? How many? One, right? God is pure. God is holy. Second thing God is, he is just. That means that he must rightly punish and deal with anything that falls short of his perfection. And the third thing that God is in relation to the gospel, which is awesome and the best part, he is love. 1 John 4:8. But God does not love, but anyone who does not know God, for God is love. God loves us unconditionally. He alone is the definition of what love is. So, in light of the gospel, who is God? God is holy. God is just. And God is love. Second, who? Who are we? Okay, this is going to be a little uncomfortable and might not feel really Christmassy, okay? But it is, and you're going to see at the end of my talk why it is. We are sinful people, okay? The importance of this truth is so critical, ladies. Let's look back at Matthew 1:21. For he will save his people from their sins. Why did the baby come? Why did God come? Okay, let's look at Romans 3:23. We are sinful. For everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. All that means is we have missed the mark of God's perfection. And because of that, you and I don't think anybody in this room could argue this, are broken people. And our relationship with God is broken because of our sinfulness. You know, my experience in over the years in ministry and sharing the gospel individually or corporately or whatever, and it was so true in my own life before I became to know the Lord. I think one of the biggest barriers of a blindness is that we really don't realize how sinful we are. How bad sin is. And you know why? Because what we do is we compare ourselves to other people, don't we? Can all of you relate to that, how we compare ourselves to one another? And I remember thinking I was a pretty good person. I'm not really that bad. I mean, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody does things that are wrong. But compared to so-and-so or this person, I can always come up smelling pretty good, right? If that's my comparison, I can always find somebody who's done worse than me. But in the Bible, the message of the gospel and the standard is not my view of myself, right? Or my comparison to other people, but it's to God. Remember, okay, God is sinless. If I compare myself to other people, I'm going to look pretty good. But I like to use this illustration, and I hope it's helpful to you. I've used it with high schoolers, and I don't know how else to do it, quite frankly, so I'm going to do it this way. But when I try to bring up this idea of God being holy and me not, I think it helps to look at God as on this sheet of paper. Do you see how it's white, right? There's nothing. God's sinless. He's pure. Well, here's Susan, okay? And Susan has lied, has cheated, has lusted, has hated, has been unforgiving, has gossiped, has been unkind, unloving. Do I need to go on? This is just one day. No, I'm just kidding. Just saying. But as you can see, right, I mean, seriously, if I look over my whole life, here we go. I mean, here's my paper, right? It's not clean. Here's my comparison. not Kathy, Sharon, Blair. This is me, right? And this is God. God is holy. Susan is not. And the worst part about it is I can't get the ink off that page myself either, can I? I can rub it. I can try to cover it. It's still there. We are at risk, the Bible says. In Romans 6:23a, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, not only physical death, but spiritual death." Sin enslaves us. Sin separates us from God. Think about even the word salvation. I love words. I love to, you know, just understand words. And I think about the word, he will save us. And the word salvation means deliverance from loss or ruin. We need a savior from spiritual death. Plain and simple, ladies, the gospel is about heaven and hell. I don't like to talk about that. But here's the deal. And this, again, I've had a lot of time to think about this, and it's been awesome. This is so important. Think about this. Why would God, okay, God incarnate on his throne in heaven, come all the way to earth as a human being, humble himself, to die a brutal death on the cross if our sins didn't have devastating consequences for us? Think about it. Why would he go through that? Why would he do all of that if it wasn't critical that our sin was so gnarly and the consequences of it were forever? I want you to see this. It's so important because here's the deal. When we see it, guess what it's going to do? It's going to cause us to run to God's love like no one's business. So that brings me to our third who. And it's the only reason Christmas makes sense, is who solves our sin problem. The solution is Jesus Christ. John 3:16-17. Here's the message to us, ladies. For this is how, okay? This is how God showed his love for you and for me. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save. There's that word, to save from ruin, from loss, but to save the world through him. Christmas is about God loving me and you so much that he gave his one and only son. Romans 5:8. But God showed his great love for you and me by sending Christ to die for us while we were sinners. This is the gospel, ladies, the good news. Merry Christmas. At the cross, God's justice was poured out on Jesus instead of you and me. Wow. That's love. That's what caused me to be born again. When I asked Jesus, I said, I don't get the cross. I don't get it. I've heard it all my life and I don't understand it. And what he was so kind to do with that honest cry was to reveal to me how sinful I was. And it caused me to run to him. And that's what God's love does. That's what the gospel is all about. So use the three who's in your life to prevent Christmas from being stolen, okay? Who is God? Who are we? And who is the solution? And there's one more way, okay, that I want to share, just 2 points, that we can prevent our Christmas from being stolen. And Pastor John Rainey, when he came here and spoke, kind of gave a little intro into that when he spoke about establishing a firm foundation for our kids using Deuteronomy 6:5-7. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. As moms, we are called to pass on a spiritual legacy to our children, ladies. This means that we are continually to tell our kids who Jesus is, what he came to do. I think we all know we're not going to be around forever, right? Our kids are our legacy. This means that we're to help them avoid their Christmas from being stolen. By number two on your outline, faithfully pass on the gospel to your children. Tell them what Jesus came to do and why. Tell them the three who's, how much God loves them. As moms, we really need to leave that legacy and help future Christmases from being stolen or not focused on the right way. What we did when our kids were little was we would just take 10 minutes, we'd sit around the table, and we'd start December 1st, and we'd do the Advent calendar. And so Advent is about, you know, this leading up to Jesus coming on December 25th. And then we would take the Christmas cards that we got, and we'd line them up, and everybody would take a family, and we would just quickly pray for them. And it was awesome. It just this 10-minute little thing that helped us focus, because it's hard. I mean, it's awesome. Christmas is wonderful. I don't want you to hear that it's not great, but it's not what it's about, right? If you focus about what it's about, then all the other stuff has meaning and fun. And the other, so I wanted to, I have a few handouts on your table about suggestions about how to pass it on. There's some really good books. I love this movie. It might be for when your kids are older, but it's the Nativity Story, and it's excellent. It is so good. And this book, my daughter actually told me about. Her kids have it, and it's wonderful. It's called God's Very Good Idea, and it takes the story from creation all the way to the cross in a way that your kids can really understand. And this one for the little ones, the real little ones, is the biggest ABC story. And it does the same thing, but in a real simple way. It's on your sheet. You can to see that for yourself. And you know what the blessing is about when you read your kids' books like this? It gets the gospel in you even more. Have you ever taught things? You know when you have to actually teach something? All of a sudden, it's like, oh, yeah, I get, yeah. It blesses you, too, as well as them, and keeps you front and center. So, as you know, this year's MOPS theme is freedom, right? We've been talking a lot about freedom. And God says that the foundation for true freedom begins by being eternally and spiritually free, forgiven. And who the Son sets free, meaning Jesus, is free indeed. The best news of Christmas, ladies, is that a little baby called Joshua came from heaven. On a rescue mission. We come into the world naked. We leave naked. We don't bring toys. We don't bring clothes. We don't bring cars, decorations. But God purchased something very, very expensive for us, and that was our eternal security. Salvation is a gift, and it was bought with a price for you and me. But like any gift, it has to be received and opened, right? I could hand you a gift, but if you never open it, you don't experience the benefit of it, do you? So how do you receive this gift? There's a verse in Romans 10, 9 through 10, and it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. This is something that is extremely personal. It's between you and the Lord. Only the Lord knows where you're at. But he's got a gift for you. And that's the gift of forgiveness. And it is freely available to anyone. That's why he came. If you know the Lord this morning, Merry Christmas. I hope that the gospel front and center is just refreshing you to walk into the season in a way that is focused and excited about what God has done for you. If you don't know the Lord or you're just seeking, MOPS is a place, ladies, where we bring you the truth, but we want you to know that it's safe, okay, to explore, to ask questions, to seek. Jesus is waiting. He loves you. He came to rescue you. And he loves you. So if you have any questions about that, you can talk to your mentor mom, your DGL, and just tell God, yeah, I am a sinner. I do need forgiveness. And I want to receive you as my Lord and for you to be the master of my life. And boy, is he a good master. He's an awesome God. So to get us, well, let me pray. I want to pray first. But we have a special guest this morning who I'm really excited to introduce and get us into the Christmas mood and spirit. So let me pray for us this morning. Ladies, and dear Lord, I just pray over these ladies right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for what you did for us. Thank you for revealing that to my heart so many years ago. And just being such a God that knows us already and that can handle wherever we're at. That God, you are just waiting there for us to run to you like a wonderful father. And I just thank you for that, Lord. And I just pray over these women today and all of us as we step into the season that the gospel, God, of your goodness, your forgiveness, your grace and mercy would just rise to the surface. And that whoever doesn't know you here today, God, would just come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.